You ready? They were not focused on the time. They were not thinking, oh, what's for lunch? Or what do I got to do? Or hurry up, Pastor Ezra, let's go. Let's get this show on the road. You know what they wanted? They wanted a connection with God so deep that it didn't matter. And it's convicting because we've got to look at our own hearts, church, and go, Lord, how come sometimes I'm just in such a rush? Come on, come on, come on, an hour. And what we've done in the church today is we've just made it so convenient and so fast and so easy. Get in, get out, let's go. But if we study the Bible, they were there from the morning to midday. And you go, okay, cool. Couple of hours, right?
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and the Hope Restored series. As we begin one of the greatest revival passages in the entire Bible, today's message is titled, Learning How to Pray. The city has been rebuilt, the enemies have been resisted, the work on the walls is finished. Now God begins His greatest work, the work inside the walls, inside the people's hearts. Ezra stands on a wooden platform built specifically for proclaiming God's word. Thousands gather to listen. They aren't entertained. They aren't distracted. They are hungry. As God's word is read and explained, something begins happening deep within them. Real prayer is about to begin, not because someone taught them a prayer, but because God's word awakened their hearts. Whenever God speaks clearly, His people respond. That is the pattern of every genuine revival throughout Scripture. Revival begins when God's people hear, understand, and respond to His word. Before prayer changes our circumstances, God's word changes our hearts. A transformed heart produces transformed prayers. So, if your Bible reading disappeared tomorrow, how much would it change your prayer life? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 in today's lesson, Learning How to Pray.
Moving on to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, it says, So Ezra the priest, okay, so here we go, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. He brought it on the first day of the seventh month, verse 3. Then he read from it on the open square and was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those who could understand and the ears of all those who were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on the platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattaniah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkah, and Maaseiah. On his left hand was Pedaiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Heshbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. So moving back, just guys, focus with me. Stay tuned in. If the first element of worship was a great hunger for the word of God, then the second one we see here, the second element is our worship should be marked by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. You go, how so? Well, let's break it down. Ezra, you remember him. Ezra was the man responsible for having the temple rebuilt and for the people returning to God to worship. It was that connection. And Nehemiah, in all his work of rebuilding the wall, he carried on the work of Ezra had begun, both the temple and the walls. We know Ezra cared about God's word. You go, how so? Because the Bible describes him as a scribe. This was someone who copied the Bible by hand. He knew the word of God. The Bible also says that he was a man devoted to God. How so? Because it says he was a godly priest. So Ezra was a pastor, a priest, a scribe. And what has happened? What has happened? He says, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. All of them are assembled right here by the water gate. And he comes out and he says this, the men and the women and all could hear with understanding. I want you to catch that. I want you to underline that. And you go, why? Because you need to know, this is one of the prime reasons that we put a great emphasis on the children's church. The Bible says that Pastor Ezra began teaching the word to all those who could understand it. Our little ones, as much as we want them with us, they cannot understand the Bible. And what happens is they get bored and they say, I don't want to go to church. That pastor's boring. They can't understand that. And so we decided to make children's church a place of learning and Bible fun at their level where they can sing and dance and worship and they could learn the word at a way that they can understand. We feel this is the best way to love our kids, teaching kids to love God at their understanding level. And we get that from here. We get that from here. And so you have a bunch of people. Ezra opens the word of God. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see something that's both amazing and convicting at the same time. You go, how so? Well, notice verse 3. The Bible says from morning to midday. What do you mean? Well, the people were so hungry for the word of God and for worship that it was from morning to midday. And you go, okay, Ben, Pastor, what's the deal? You ready? They were not focused on the time. They were not thinking, oh, what's for lunch? Or what do I got to do? Or hurry up, Pastor Ezra, let's go. Let's get this show on the road. You know what they wanted? They wanted a connection with God so deep that it didn't matter. It didn't matter. And it's convicting because we've got to look at our own hearts, church, and go, Lord, how come sometimes I'm just in such a rush? Come on, come on, come on, an hour. And what we've done in the church today is we've just made it so convenient and so fast and so easy. Get in, get out, let's go. But if we study the Bible, they were there from the morning to midday. And you go, okay, cool. Couple of hours, right? Right, Joe? Couple of hours? No. Let me give you a little bit more information. You ready? If we look at the morning, it's literally from the break of day. So as soon as it began getting light, that's when they were in church. That's when they were in church. But you got to remember, the people here had such a hunger for God's word. They had lost the connection. Now they're back. And so what happens, they go, wait a minute, Pastor Ezra's coming. Oh, no, we got to get there. And so they were there from the very daybreak to hear God's word. And you know what? They were willing to sacrifice something to hear it. They wanted it. And like Jacob, they would not let go until they had their blessing. And you go, wow, that's awesome. But it's also convicting because we have become that place of, okay, hurry, let's go. Pastor, hey. And I understand logistics and I understand church. I get that. And I'm not here putting a big guilt trip. Okay, guys, we're going to start meeting from church. What I'm saying is that, man, what happens in here has to be so much deeper in the time that we do have so that we have that. So it's, Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me that nugget of truth. Lord, give me that moment of encouragement. God, please. And so what does Ezra do? He comes and he stands on a platform. You see, they had taken the time to build a wooden platform. Why? So the word of God could be heard. The word of God could be heard. And here's what I want you to see. They did practical things so God's word would have the greatest impact. Practical things. There are practical things that we can do to help God's word have the greatest effect. You go, what do you mean? Well, first of all, we try to have the room very comfortable. We try to keep distractions really low. And we try to have the preacher so he can clearly be heard. Why? Because again, we're trying to grab some things from God's word. And Ezra, we made a platform. Everybody was listening. Everybody was engaged. And this is what we try to do at church too. We try to make it as comfortable. But I got to say this or else I won't honor God if I don't. You ready? Church is not about us. Church is about Jesus. Church is about the worship of God. We come here, we study the word of God. We have our fellowship. We say hi to each other. How are you? God bless you. How you doing, brother? What's going on in your life? But ultimately, guys, the reason you're here is for the worship of God. And we have to be careful. If you don't mind, I'm going to stand right here. We have to be so careful because we've made church a consumer mentality. What's in it for me? How does it make me feel? Instead of coming in and going, God, how can I minister to your heart? And in the same time as you minister to God's heart through song and through prayer and through devotion, he's ministering to your heart in the needs that you have. In the breakdown that you have, he's talking to you and he's He's ministering to you and he's blessing you. And this is the God we serve. But listen, the greatest preparation is not the air conditioning or the heat or the comfortable blue chairs or whatever it might be. You ready? The greatest preparation must happen in our hearts. You go, what does that mean? Lord, guys, we're coming. We come and we're willing to forget about ourselves and our own agenda and submit ourselves to God's word, not to the preacher's word, but to God's word. That's where the greatest preparation needs to happen. And this is what Ezra's doing. Ezra's saying, so what did Ezra do? Well, it goes on in verse 5 and 6. Look with me, Nehemiah chapter 8, 5 and 6. And Ezra stood, opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people when he opened it, and all the people stood up. You guys see that? Pastor stands up here for 45 minutes, 55 minutes. Y'all are sitting down. They did it the other way around. Can you imagine? All right, guys, it's church, and you had to stand to honor the God's word. Oh, well, like for how long? Well, it said from what? From the break of day till noon. All right, I'm not going to that church. That takes a long time. No, sorry, Pastor. No. But think about what he said. He said he opened it up and the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen. While lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads, notice, and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What a beautiful picture Ezra's painting here. Guys, look at this. The third element, the worship of God, is what? Here's the third one, is a humble honor and reverence to God's word, to God's word. See, the people stood up to honor the word of God. And as the pastor began to bless the Lord, people said, amen and amen. That's so important. This is why I'll say, hey, that's a great place for an amen, or can I get an amen? Guys, this is what they're saying, man. The amen was in reference to God's word. But remember, it's never to bring attention to ourselves. It's never to bring attention to oneself. There's nothing wrong with an amen in the preaching of the word of God. What we have to do is we have to be careful that we're not drawing attention away from the word of God on to ourselves. There's so many times that my wife will say, oh, God brought you a little cheerleader because the cheer, I'll be preaching and come on, Pastor. Yeah, bring it. Come on. And it's just that encouraging thing. But sometimes it can distract people from the study and from the power of the Holy. Oh, what's that guy doing, man? He's really getting into it. Well, we're Calvary Chapel. We don't really say amen. Do we, guys? Amen. Yeah. Do we, guys? Amen. Yeah, we do. We say amen. But we're not bringing, listen, the church is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. There is no other name by which we can be saved. Our hearts, our lives are submitted to Jesus. No. When pastor's preaching, I don't make you stand. I know that you're honoring God's word in your heart. I understand that. But I want to just be careful. And we're always careful in this building not to draw attention away from the teaching of the word of God. In our services, Calvary, you know this. I know you know this. We place a great emphasis on the teaching of the word of God. So what do? We try very hard to minimize distractions. I've told you this before, but you know how easy it is to be distracted, right? You need to understand the context. Here we are in church. You have your Bible open. You're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're just, man, you're really tracking with me, and you're like, man, cool. I didn't realize that that's what it said, and you're taking notes. And all of a sudden, we're trying to minimize distraction, and the enemy wants to bring distractions. I can't tell you how many times we're sitting here and during the altar call, and right behind us, you'll hear somebody, they'll start cutting their weeds in the middle of the night or whatever, and you're just like, wow, or somebody would just feel the need to get up right in the middle of that. And so there you are. And you're taking notes and you're highlighting and you look and, oh, where are they going? Well, that's a fourth time. And you missed that important nugget that maybe God had for you. And it's not to convict you. It's not to, oh, man, it's just so, God, we want all that God has for us. But I want you to note the result of worship. You go, what's that? They bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The people thanked God by saying amen when Ezra blessed the Lord. And then they prayed by lifting up their hands in holy reverence. And then they worshiped, the Bible says, by bowing down before him. Worship. How are we to worship the Lord? In verse 7, it says, then Jeshua, Benai, Sherebani, Jamin, Akab, Shebethani, Hodijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. And so they read distinctly from the book of the law, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Let me give you the fourth element of worship. You ready? The worship of God is marked by how we handle his word. How we handle his word. You go, Pastor, what do you mean? It wasn't enough for them to just read the word. Somebody had to explain it. And that's what we do. It's called expository Bible teaching. We don't just need people to stand and give a talk. You don't need an inspirational TED talk when you come. What we need is the truth of God's word. And Hananiah said, I had these fellas and they helped me. Why? Because there were so many people that there would inevitably somebody goes, oh, okay, what, you know, Pastor Ezra was reading this. What was this about? And they would go to them and they would say, okay, let me help you. This is what it means. Here's the word of God. Special men were appointed to help the people understand God's word. Somebody asked me earlier, how do you become a leader here at Calvary Chapel? And the best way is to serve, is to be a servant, not to be seen at the gate, not to be, oh, look at me, but to get in there and serve. Lord, I'm serving you. And I trust that. And again, what do you do with these people? We take them and we teach them and we have the school of ministry and we pour into people so that they can help others understand the word of God. People need help understanding the word of God. If we couldn't understand it, what good would it do? This is why teaching the Bible is so important, because every one of us in this room could read it, but trying to understand it and figure it out. And let me just even say this. Let me add this to you. There are times when pastors don't even touch the book of Revelation because it's so deep and there's so much symbolism. Oh, no. And people go, okay, help. But if you read Revelation, you're just like, I don't know what we're talking about, a dragon coming out of a sea. What are you talking about? And they get confused and they say, no, that's not for me. But it's so important, because if we don't understand it, what good would it do? Let me do this, okay? David Guzik explains this verse, and I love it. I'm just going to use his. He says this, understanding the needs to be the first goal of any preacher or teacher. He says, when I stand and teach God's people, there are some things that I always need to remember. If you leave knowing five helpful hints to a better life, but do not have an understanding of God's word, I have failed. If you leave having been amused by humor, entertained by anecdotes, or captivated by dramatic stories, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed. If you leave motivated to action or praying a prayer, but it's not based on a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed. If you leave, he says, admiring me, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed and will be accountable before God for my failure. You go, well, Ben, what's the goal? The goal is that if it's one verse, eight verses, whatever it might be, that you leave here tonight with a greater understanding of God's word. Expository Bible teaching is taking the word, explaining it and illustrating it and applying it to everyday life. And I will tell you this, there is a famine in the land for that kind of teaching. That's the kind of teaching that builds great Christians, and I believe builds great churches. Keep it simple, because you shouldn't have to have a PhD to understand the preacher. And the mysteries of the word are revealed to babes and those who come to Christ like a little child anyway. The gospel is really simple, easy, that anyone can understand. So tonight, as we close our Bible study, just 8 verses, may I remind you, the worship of God is much, much more than the music that's played or the type of building or the lights or the screens. The worship of God is in His Word, and He tells us how we need to worship Him. God is not forcing any of us to worship Him. We get to worship Him, an honor to worship Him, to talk to Him, to pray to Him, to walk with Him. And I got to be honest with you, there are still some Christians that are fighting with God and wrestling with God a lot like Jacob did, and they have not come clean and said, okay, Lord, I'm all yours. I surrender all. As we close, a gentle reminder that we're created to worship God. What we have learned here today are simple elements to help us worship. Let me give them to you again. Worship is rooted in a hunger for God's word, a hunger. I pray that we would have a hunger for God's word. I pray, Lord, that even now that we would have a hunger for your word, a deeper hunger. Worship is marked by hearing God's word, hearing it, understanding it. Worship is marked by honor and reverence to God's word. And worship is rooted in how we handle God's word. Why is that important? Listen, here's why. Because oftentimes throughout the teaching, you'll hear us say, if you're taking notes, and it's important, take notes, mark up your Bible. These are those things. There are times you go, listen, I'm not sure where the verse is, but I know I had a yellow highlight on the top, and I know, and it's just because it's just been a part of you. It's just something that's part of you, and you just know it. And you're sitting here, and you're saying, okay, I need more of God. And that's the worship. Amen.
Amen.
Father, tonight we thank you for your great love, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, that, Lord, worship is more than singing, although we sing to you. Worship is more, God, than, hey, I attended church. Worship is about your word and about hearing your word and obeying your word and living your word and having a relation. Father, we ask your forgiveness tonight, dear Jesus. Oh, we have failed you sometimes so much. We have put other things above your word, Lord. And for that, we're truly sorry. Forgive us, Lord. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation. And so, God, we love you tonight. We love you leaving here with a greater understanding. Just a few verses, God. But even more excited to come back and finish this whole book, understanding this whole book, so we can grow into the likeness of Jesus. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
In Christ.
Next time on In Christ Radio, we'll continue in Nehemiah chapter 8 as God's word begins to convict the hearts of the people. Their first response is sorrow over their sin, but Nehemiah will remind them of a truth every believer needs to hear. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We'll discover that true prayer doesn't end in guilt. It leads us into the joy of God's grace, with the lesson titled, Our Response to God's Word. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace, and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.